Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and assistant editor of Urology Times, Janelle Hart. In this episode, I spoke with Jay Seth, MD. He discusses onabotulinum toxin A injection programs as a treatment for urinary incontinence and the bleeding risk associated with these injections for patients who also take blood thinners. Seth is a consultant urological surgeon at St. George's University Hospital, London, UK. Could you discuss the background for the study?
We're talking about a prevalent condition, the overactive bladder. And that's a condition which a lot of continence services, urology units, urogynecology units will be very familiar with. These patients tend to present with urinary urgency, frequency, nocturia, urgent continence. And population studies tend to suggest that can affect up to 10 to 15% of people. And we do know that as patients get older or more senior in age, over 40, 50, 60 certainly, that prevalence rises. So we're dealing with a very common condition, which can, in many cases, ruin quality of life, particularly if it's associated with urgent continence. And then you've got a treatment which is very effective. So Botox to the bladder has, in some ways, changed the paradigm of treatment for this condition. It's a fairly easily accessible treatment. It's something we do more and more of. We do it under an ambulatory setting, under local anesthetic, patients walk in and walk out. And so Botox programs for continence services tend to have large numbers of patients within them, and that number of patients just continues to grow. And that can be patients with neuropathic backgrounds or idiopathic backgrounds. And the indication is also growing for delivery of Botox, and there's huge quantities of evidence to talk about the success of Botox. So we found ourselves in a situation where we're doing more and more Botox treatments in patients who are increasingly complex in terms of their medical background. So many patients may be on blood thinners for cardiac or vascular reasons or cerebrovascular reasons. And that can be aspirin, clopidogrel, warfarin, or the new oral anticoagulants. So as your Botox practice rises, your proportion of patients that are affected or fit into this bracket also rises. And stopping the anticoagulation or the blood thinner in that particular group is a point of counseling, because Botox is a repeated treatment. They may have to have 2 treatments a year. And if you keep stopping blood thinner on someone who's at a high risk of clotting, then you may end up causing compromise there. So we've looked at the safety in terms of bleeding risk of Botox injections in this cohort of patients who take blood thinners. We've looked at that into 3 large centers in London who have fairly established busy urology units and busy Botox programs and continence services. So we're looking at safety in terms of bleeding risk of Botox in that group of patients.
What were some notable findings? Were any of them surprising to you and your co-authors?
Over time, because we've been delivering Botox in a very experienced way for around 20 years, and I'm talking about these particular departments, so we got a flavor for the fact that the bleeding risk is incredibly low. And then practice, interestingly, across these departments in London ended up becoming, well, we have such a huge proportion of patients having Botox, we can't keep stopping all of their blood thinners. And the practice ended up just becoming that we don't stop the anticoagulation because we felt the bleeding risk was very low. So this looked over 2 years of Botox treatment programs. And the notable feature was that the bleeding risk is very small. And in our particular group, was less than 1%. And when I say bleeding risk, we're talking about significant bleeding, which requires treatment. So an admission, catheterization, and washout of the bladder. And the risk of that came to be less than 1% in this cohort.
So based on these data, are you likely to alter anything about your own clinical practice?
Well, I think it's very reassuring to hear and see this data, and hopefully will help other clinicians who have a busy Botox practice to help them counsel patients about their bleeding risk. Significant bleeding in terms of transfusion, there was none. So this will become a part of the counseling with the patient as to whether or not you stop the blood thinner and what the patient feels their risk of clotting or bleeding is. something to note is that the warfarin patients, their INR on point of care testing was less than 3. So we're not talking about patients with INR ranges of over 3. But we find these results reassuring, and we will continue to not stop aspirin, clopidogrel, warfarin with an INR of less than 3, or the novel oral anticoagulants such as rivaroxaban or apixaban. So we will continue this, but we feel slightly reassured, and it will also support our counseling with the patient.
What is the take-home message for the practicing urologist?
So the take-home message should be that there's now some data available. I think this is the first published data on the safety of intravesical injections with botulinum toxin in patients on blood thinners. So there's now a bit of data. We will build on this data. I suppose this should hopefully be able to allow clinicians, when counseling patients, to talk about the risks of bleeding and at least allow them to conclude that the risks of significant bleeding is notably rare, less than 1%. And that significant bleeding required catheterization and bladder washout. It didn't require theater or anesthesia. It didn't require diathermy. It didn't require blood transfusion. So it was managed conservatively, but clinicians using Botox can hopefully be slightly reassured with this data.
Is there anything else you feel our audience should know about the findings?
The things that we didn't look at, so what would make this better is if we had larger volumes of patients. So we've got 114 injection episodes that we've reported on. It would be good to have a higher number of patients within the novel oral anticoagulation group, a higher number of patients within the warfarin group, and we will build on that and report that again. In terms of patients having Botox, again, we've got to be individualized to some extent, where if you feel someone's at very high risk of bleeding, and if they're going to be having 30 injections with 300 units of Botox, and their INR is over 3, and they have a history of radiation cystitis and bleeding elsewhere, then maybe you will stop it. So we're not saying a blanket stop for all patients, but I think we do need to be taking each patient as an individual in terms of their background. We haven't looked at the gauge of needle, the size of needle. There are slightly different needle sizes. We haven't looked at the number of injections and bleeding risk. We haven't looked at UTI and bleeding risk, but all of these are clearly relevant. In terms of, you know, moving forwards, I think this data is reassuring.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.